The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome into a numbers game with me, Joe Serrallo, alongside Kelly Bidlin, getting you ready for your weekend here on this Friday, February 14th edition of the show. And with the weekend comes a lot of Premier League action on tap. Who better to talk about it with than our friend Paul Carr from True Media Sports and, of course, the Expected Value podcast. Gave out some great Champions League winners, some incredible value just the other day. Let's see if we can do it again with the Premier League. Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, we didn't no Premier League last weekend because it was the FA Cup. So we're getting back in the swing of things. We're about two thirds of the way through the season. So we're starting to head down the stretch.
And we've got a match to start. No official play from you on it, but I'd love to get your thoughts on this Brighton-Chelsea match.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Brighton's, I'd say they've underachieved a little bit all season from kind of what people expected them to be. Chelsea's been playing pretty well on the whole, and Nico Jackson is the big question mark here. He's out. He's their top scorer, forward up top. He's out for this game. So I don't really have a play. I guess if I had to, I'd do something like Brighton draw a little better than even money if I had to play something, but no official play here. I think this will be a pretty interesting game, but I don't have a good feeling about which way it might go.
Paul, you've been on a tear recently. We were talking about during the break over eight units on giving out up over eight units over the show over the past month on the show on an absolute tear. Champions League, it feels like I can remember about one losing day for you over that time. I know we got a few plays to get to. I did want to just ask you a question, though, for people that are getting it, trying to get into betting soccer, whether it's Premier League, Champions League, any of the European leagues, just kind of biggest piece of advice you have for what people should be looking at, you know, stat-wise or what how they should begin their process of learning how to learning and advancing handicapping soccer.
Yeah, and there's obviously a lot of different approaches. There's some things that are just very practical. For example, we'll talk about this next week when we hit the Champions League second legs. Where there can be extra time, and it's just when you're in these knockout tournaments, it's know what's at stake and know what teams have to do. Like there'll be some weird lines next week because a draw will get a team through, or they can lose and still advance. So just the simple mechanics of making sure you know what you're betting and what the team motivations are probably the first thing, because I think everyone who has started betting soccer has made a bet and you think it loses or you think it wins, but you realize you made a regulation bet and there was extra time and you get it mixed up as far as what you actually bet. So that's kind of the biggest thing is just make sure you're understanding, you know, what's the two-way lines, the three-way lines, regulation types of things like that.
That would
just
be something that I would
basic
do.
Basic stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it. I've done it. Everyone's done it when they start betting soccer. You think you won something and you realize it was a two advanced instead of a 90-minute bet or something along those lines.
Yeah, two advanced and to lift the trophy, right? Make sure you're looking at those markets, especially when we get into these tournaments like you're talking about.
Paul, it's great advice. You know I'm a novice when it comes to betting soccer, but as someone who grew up on Long Island, I'm a bit of an expert when it comes to Southampton. What's your play for this Southampton-Bournemouth game?
Yeah, I think we're going to get some goals here one way or the other. I have over 3.5 at plus 130. This may look a little odd. You have teams that are 10th and 15th in total goals this season out of the 20 Premier League teams, but they're 3rd and 6th in total expected goals. And again, expected goals, just how many goals you're expected to score based on the shots that you take. And both teams are just run a little bit cold offensively, but 4 of Southampton's last 5 have had 4-plus goals. And this is a stylistic bet as well in the sense that Southampton gives the ball away at the back. Their defenders try to hang on to it. They give it away a lot. And Bournemouth presses with their attackers as well as any team in the league. They have the third most possessions that start in that attacking third. So I think Bournemouth's press will give Southampton trouble, which will lead to goals. So I like goals here. Plus 130 on the over 3.5.
Right, like it continuing on Saturday, Crystal Palace and Everton. Another total play for you here. What you got, Paul?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a zag. It's over 2.5 at plus 120. Crystal Palace, Everton, you would just call them kind of under type of teams this season. They're both in the bottom 5 in goals scored. But again, things are trending up. Everton has a new manager who was their old manager. His name's David Moyes. And three of the last 5 have had 4-plus goals and 2.5-plus expected goals. And they've scored in 4 straight Premier League games with multiple goals in 3 of those. So I'm not saying that he's opening the team up, but he is giving them more opportunities to score than they kind of had under the previous regime, which was under Sean Dyche, was much more defensive. And Palace has been better lately in attack. They've scored twice in 4 of the last 6. I might hate this pick 10 minutes in when it looks like both teams are fine with a 0-0, but getting plus 120 on over 2.5, I will take that chance.
And Paul, you've been killing it with the plus money plays. Of course, I want to, you know, give some acknowledgement, give some credit to that plus 290 over, who was that, Man City, Real Madrid?
Real Madrid, yeah.
Yeah, that's over 4.5.
1-1. Yeah, 1-1 in the 80th minute and over 4.5 hits.
No but, sweat. I mean,
part of the bet was like these teams get weird late in general, especially Real Madrid. Things just open up and things get crazy. So again, obviously it worked out really well in my favor with the stoppage time winner, but that was part of the play, is that things get loose late and crazy stuff can happen.
What a finish for you. That game's 1-1 in the 80th. You had Juventus, which won in the, I think, 82nd minute. It was a strong day of finishes in the Champions League for you. So you've been giving out these plus money overs with pretty good success. How about an under? What do you like in that Liverpool match?
Yeah, I'll take the under 3.5 here at minus 110. Wrote a lot of Liverpool unders early in the season when they were really just kind of choking the life out of the game with possession. They're not quite doing that as much now as they used to. But they're also not the rip-roaring attacking team they were under Jurgen Klopp last season. They've scored two or fewer in 8 of their 11 home games. And this game is at home. And they've only conceded more than once in 2 of their 9 home games. So it's always a little scary to bet an under on a Liverpool home game, because you just think, you know, like any team at their home venue, which is, you know, raucous and just a classic venue like Anfield is, it's a little bit scary because you just think they're going to get rolling and hang 4 on Wolverhampton, which they might. But this Wolves team is not very good. They're really fortunate that they're not in the relegation zone now. They could still fall in there. I just think this is like a 2-0, 3-0 type of game for Liverpool where they're in control. They don't go nuts, but they, you know, it's a lunch pail type of game. You know, you're at home, get your 3 points, go on your way, and keep that lead safe in the Premier League title race.
All right, Paul, I'm going to bring you back to the top goal scorer market because as you can tell,
it's changing.
You know, I'm a little obsessed with this. The Erling Haaland, I feel like I've been trying to get involved with it at some point during the season. I haven't yet. I think it's pretty interesting, though, to see Mo Salah now with a 3-goal lead. I know you're on the under with the Liverpool game on Sunday. He's got a 3-goal lead, though, right now. He's moved to the favorite, minus 125. Haaland plus 140. I was really hoping to get involved here, but I was hoping for a longer number. How do you look at this market right now?
Yeah. Kind of feeling similar to that, in that seeing Haaland at plus 140, I don't remember seeing him that long over the past several years. So that my first instinct is like, we got to jump on that. Is he really going to make up 3?
Right.
And maybe 4? It depends on your book if they pay out a dead heat or whatever they do if guys tie. That's tough at just one plus 140. Pick. I mean, it's not like Salah is slowing down or anything, and Liverpool is going to have to push. The only case I can really make for Haaland here is Liverpool rest Salah toward the end of the season. Like, they clinch the title with, say, 5 games left, which they possibly could, maybe not that many, and he sits out a few games because they're deep in Champions League or something.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, City's going to be pushing for top 4, so that's the only case I can really make. Like, maybe just gets like 3 more games than Salah does from kind of a Man City's got to win this perspective.
So unfortunately, we're still priced correctly pretty much. Yeah.
I think so. I would want close to plus 200.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to find. All right, maybe I'll shop around, see if I can.
Well, you mentioned City making a push for top 4. While we're talking futures, Liverpool's pretty in command to win the league, but is there any value in that top 4 market? Anything that intrigues you there?
Nothing crazy. I still kind of like Newcastle. They're about plus 225. I have a future on them from before the season at almost that identical price, so it's not something I'm going out to play. But yeah, you have essentially 4 teams for 2 spots. So I feel like Newcastle's a couple points off of 4th right now, so I kind of like that. The one X factor in all of this is, and this is a little bit complicated, but the Premier League's probably going to get 5 Champions League spots, which means a team could be in 5th going to the last few days and not have to push for top 4, which is a little bit strange, but it depends on how all the English teams do in Champions League and the other European competitions this year. So that's just kind of a wrinkle to keep an eye on. Like, Newcastle or any team could be in 5th going into the last couple of days and be fine with that, depending on how everything else shakes out, both in Europe and in the Premier League.
Speaking of Newcastle, they've got a match with Man City tomorrow. Man City laying 5 cents, Newcastle plus 245, draw 3-1 there. Anything on that board that intrigues you? Any lean in that contest?
Yeah, I was thinking about the Newcastle double chance at minus 120. I've played a lot of double chances against Man City this season successfully. I'm not ready to say Man City is back in this game, but, you know, they've looked okay. I just still don't quite trust them. I mean, we saw it against Real Madrid where they were ahead 2-3 times and ended up losing that match. And that's kind of what City's been all season, just not quite clicking, especially defensively. So I feel like Newcastle has the personnel with Alexander Isak and company to really take advantage of a weak Man City defense. So I would lean toward Newcastle, double chance, minus 120, or maybe you can find a better price if you shop around.
Paul, as always, sensational stuff, man. Really appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on.
You bet. Happy Valentine's. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you as well. Our buddy Paul Carr. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. Check out the Expected Value podcast, too. That guy gives out a lot of value. That's for sure. A lot of plus money plays and a lot of them hit.
Yep. Man, he's been on hell of a run here the past couple months on this show. I'm just trying to find, I'm shopping soccer prices right now, man. I'm trying to find Haaland at like plus 170. I think I'd get involved. That guy's a beast.
You know, I fell into the same trap that you've warned me about because I don't bet soccer. And you said that you and Gil sometimes, Paul, come on, give out some great plays. And you'll be like, you know what? I'm going to play that. And then you get home after the show and you settle down and, you know, you make yourself a soy latte like Kelly loves to do. And you realize, oh, shoot, the match already started. Yeah. That happened to me with Juventus the other day. I was going to play it. And then I look and I'm like, oh, 40th minute. Very cool.
Yeah. It happens to me way too often. Yeah. Those
soy lattes just take too long. They're too time consuming. For you to make.
It's always, you know, you get done, we got some post-show stuff we got to do, maybe run an errand or two on the way home, and then I'm settled down at my desk working on some NBA stuff for the day, working on next day's show, and then I look up, like you said, and it's, oh, we're in the 20th minute.
Yep, that's exactly what happened to me, and it would have been a sweat, you know, maybe it would have been a winner, but maybe I was okay without the stress in my life. Speaking of your NBA stuff for the day, three-point contest, that's what we have to cap up next on A Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin, I'm Joe Cirillo.
The Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game continues here on this Friday morning, February 14th. Special Valentine's Day edition of the show with myself, Joe Cirillo, alongside Kelly Bidlin, as usual. Make sure you get involved with the show at Kelly Bidlin on Twitter, at the Joe Cirillo for myself. Best tweets will get read on air. I want to know what you folks think my Valentine's Day plans consist of. We've already got a couple pouring in. Keep them coming. Later on, bottom of the hour, we will read the best Valentine's Day related tweets here on A Numbers Game. Kelly, I know what your weekend's going to consist of, and that is betting the NBA All-Star Game festivities. Maybe not the game itself.
What about my Valentine's Day plans? Yeah, no, there's no guess.
I told you I made the reservation at Andiamo for 8
tonight. Oh, thanks, come on, bro. Man. Thanks. You're a good guy.
Bottle of Chianti, little candlelight. Endless possibilities.
And you're paying, right?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Come on.
I'm not a cheap.
The host game. Salary, you know?
Yeah. The Gil Fillin salary. That's got to be a good one right there. Oh, yeah.
If it was existent. No, there's a reason they bury me in the late nights. They're like, oh, yeah, 11 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, when everyone's passed out with a Domino's box on their stomach, that's when we'll put Joe on.
This is like, what, the second or third show you brought up Domino's? All right, power.
I don't know, yeah.
Power rank the big pizza chains real quick.
I don't eat any of them. I'm from New York. I'm a pizza snob.
I know, me either.
You know? I could power rank like New York City pizzerias.
All right, I'm going to give one specific pizza because I will occasionally eat this.
If you say Little Caesars, I will have lost respect for you.
No. I can't even back up the whole restaurant because like their normal pizza, I would never get.
Okay.
But the stuffed crust at Pizza Hut still works. It still hits, man.
Yeah, I don't do it. I will say in college, because I, remember, I'm from New York, from Long Island, so great pizza Long Island, great pizza New York City, and I have no shame in admitting the best pizza, New Haven, Connecticut. I got a lot of New York pride.
Oh, yeah.
New Haven,
yeah.
Connecticut, best pizza.
There's pizza from everywhere these days, by the way. You go into a restaurant, and they're like, yeah, we've got New Haven style, we've got this
when
style.
When they say Detroit style,
Detroit style? Yeah.
No disrespect to Detroit. I know Derek Stevens, big Detroit guy. I don't go to Detroit for my pizza.
Yeah, it is... It'll get me though. Whenever I'm at a place and I see a like city's pizza that I've never had before, I'm like, well, I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, no, I don't play nope. The hits.
Yeah, okay.
Stick to what you know there. We could, you know, that might be next week. That might be a segment. Power ranking pizza and whatnot. Not a lot of sports going on.
Oh, there's not.
Bagels, New York, New Jersey, or nowhere.
Okay.
Bagels got to be from New York.
I mean, I've heard it's about something about the water, Joe. Right?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. No, I'm dead serious. So Prince Street Pizza, there's locations. There's one here in Vegas, one or two in Vegas. There's a Prince Street in Los Angeles. They import the water and the dough from the original Prince Street in New York.
Okay, that's
pretty
dang
impressive.
And that's
why I'll go to Prince Street. Like West Hollywood, after a night out, you go to Prince Street. And, you know, it's a good nightcap.
I'm just laughing at that because I don't know how many New Yorkers I've worked with or known in my life that at some point it's about the water, Kelly. It's about the water. I'm like, all right, cool.
The water, I think, has also been linked to cancer. I don't know if the pizza's linked to cancer, but yeah. Well, I know Kelly's going to have some sort of fast food pizza chain and he'll be firing away bets Saturday night. Three-point contest, dunk contest. What are you more in on? Skills? The skills contest?
Oh, I can't. The only thing I will bet is the three-point contest. So in fact, I will caution you to bet anything else. The slam dunk contest, I don't want to use the word rigged, but, you know, there's a big car company that sponsors it. Sometimes it feels like there's a narrative player in the race that they want to get up there and or in the field that they want to get up there. And look, there's not even many shops that offer it. And
yeah, I'm not even seeing dunk contest lines on DraftKings.
Yeah. And then I don't know how often you've watched it recently, Joe, or ever, but the judging isn't exactly very scientific, where it's like peer pressure of whether to throw up a 10 or a 9 or something like that. And it's, you know, and nobody wants to throw up the 9 when everybody else threw up a 10 because they're going to get booed by everybody. So I would say stay away from that. 3-point contest, I usually make a couple bets, have some fun with it. Damian Lillard has now won this, 2 years in a row, which is kind of funny. Just as a 3-point contest, you think is a little bit more wide open. That's why I do like to get involved with, I'll usually grab a couple players. Just to break down the field real quick, Damian Lillard is your short shot, plus 340. Another past winner, Buddy Hield, 5-1. You got Darius Garland, who is having his best shooting season of his career, 6-1. Norman Powell, one of the guys carrying the Clippers this year, and the second shot for most improved players, 6-1 as well. Tyler Hero, plus 650. Cam Johnson, 7-1. Jalen Brunson, 7-1, and Cade Cunningham, good luck, 11-1. This is not to say that he can't win it, but the rest of this field is powerful enough. And where we've knocked a lot of these, a lot of the fields for the dunk contest, 3-point contest, you usually got some of the better players that step up, which is still fun to watch. The one bet I know I'll be making, I probably will be adding a second here, Joe, but the one I'm going to be making is Tyler Hero. He's had...
You get 7-1 at other shops, by the way.
Yes, as always, shop around. But yes, plus 650, I think that's good enough for me. 7-1, though, like Joe's talking about, I did see that somewhere here. I'm waiting. I haven't bet anything yet because I'm currently waiting for some of these Vegas books to throw up odds on this. Not everybody has odds up, only a couple books currently with them up. But look, Hero is the third most three-pointers made this year from wide open range. What we're talking about with that is his NBA statistics. Defender 6-plus feet away is your closest defender. So who's getting a wide open look at the bucket? That's really where I start just handicapping this. I mean, yes, you're looking for the best 3-point shooters.
Isn't that how they play normal defense, by the way, in the NBA?
Just
give the guy 6 feet. You don't want to hurt yourself.
It's drive, pass, 2 passes, and then one guy's open in the corner. That happens a lot, very much. But
there would never be a shot with 6 feet of separation in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, but you got guys like the fact that Tyler Hero, Darius Garland, Damian Lillard, Jalen Brunson can even get as many of these as they can is impressive because you know they're some of the focal points of the defenses. The fact that they even have
is the focal point now that Jimmy's gone.
Right. The fact that these guys have as many makes as they do from that wide open range is incredible. So Hero, look, he's third most makes from that wide open range and just pure 3-pointers made. The top two guys are Darius Garland and Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, that makes a lot of sense with that's what he does. You've had 5 different players this year hit 10 threes in a game, Tyler Hero being one of them. We know he can shoot from this range incredibly well. First time all-star too, so you wonder how much that has to play into it once go in there and put up a show. 39% from perimeter this year, and he's firing over 10 threes a game. It's what I like to see in someone that I'm looking for, really, who's taking a lot of threes and making a lot of threes during the season, but then especially in that wide open range as well. So Tyler Hero's one I will be betting, Joe. I'd hate to get chalky because I usually don't in this market. I have a feeling the other guy I'm going to throw a couple bucks on is Lillard. Lillard's got a chance to win this three. I think it's 3 times in a row now for Lillard.
Oh.
And look, when
not a good week for three-peats though, Kelly.
That is a good point.
Not a good week for three-peats.
Good point, Joe. But this is if you're Damian Lillard, okay. The hype hasn't exactly lived up to expectations when we've talked about what the pairing was going to be with Lillard and Giannis in Milwaukee. This season, you're kind of struggling along as well. I'm not saying this is anything that Lillard's going to be all too excited and go crazy about and have a party about if he wins, but anything good out of a season that looks like it, I don't want to say lost, but looks like it's going to be a struggle to really break through in the Eastern Conference, probably means a little something to him, especially since we have seen him win two of these already. So Hero definitely for me. I'm going to shop around. As long as I can find something in that mid threes range on Lillard, I'll probably bet him as well.
So I'd stay away from Lillard on this just because I don't think it's juicy enough. I don't like the value there for such a short shot, especially if you're going to play multiple guys, in my opinion. How much of a tax are we paying on Buddy Hield being that it's in his home court? Do you think, like, would Buddy Hield be the second shortest shot if this was, I don't know, in Orlando? If it was somewhere else, do you think that they're giving you, like, a home court tax on Buddy Hield here?
It's a great question. Not really, though.
No? And
honestly, one I didn't really consider from that aspect, but I mean, that's just a benefit for Buddy. You know, I mean, look, he knows these baskets, knows these sight lines better. It's a
right.
little bit.
It's all about the sight line to me. That's everything.
I mean, it's definitely a little bit of an advantage. How much we can argue back and forth, but yeah. It is definitely at least a little bit of an advantage for him. So, I mean, like, I do think just going over those wide open three-point, makes an attempt, right? Buddy Hield. Of anybody on this list, not Cam Johnson because there's not enough good players on that team. Like Buddy Hield, I mean, that's
probably what, sees the most open looks.
That's what he lives for in right. the NBA. That's what he's lived for in the NBA for the past five seasons now. He's never the best or the second best player on your team, but he can shoot lights out and he's going to get a lot of those wide open looks from the better players. So I don't hate that. I don't hate that bet at all.
Yeah, I love your Hero analysis. If I was going to, roll with two guys in this one, I'd probably put a little on Buddy at 5-1 and a little on Hero at 7-1. I think that's where I'd go. Like I said, Lillard, just too short of a shot for me in a contest like this. It's funny Cunningham's up there because that's a guy that I associate with the skills competition,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't see Cunningham making a lot of noise, 10-1, 11-1 in a competition like this. But watch, now that we've both said that, he'll win the thing.
Right. No, that's
never fails.
And I usually do. Like you said, I usually don't look for the short shot at the 3-point contest.
Right.
But with what Lillard's done the past couple of years,
he's shown us.
Maybe,
exactly.
Yeah.
Folks, sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. With the Daytona 500 coming up this weekend, the NBA and NHL in full swing, the PGA Tour now underway, and baseball and March Madness right around the corner, there is no shortage of action to wager on. So start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. For as little as $9.99, you'll get a daily email with all the plays from our hosts and guests, expert analysis, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make the smartest picks. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for only $9.99 your first 30 days at VSiN.com/subscribe. We'll look at the NBA MVP race alongside Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo. It's a numbers game.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, in sports betting and trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Just go to bubbatrading.com/VSiN and you'll get a free ebook on options trading. Use our code VSiN500. You'll save $500 on any purchase. As a numbers game continues with myself, Joe Serralo, alongside Kelly Bidlin, getting you ready for the weekend on this Friday, February 14th edition of the big show. Just talk some 3-point shooting contest markets ahead of All-Star weekend in the NBA. But now, Kelly, I feel like with a few days off, a little reset, what are we, about 3/4 of the way through the NBA season? It's a pretty good time to reevaluate some futures. I know early next week we're going to look at some updated win totals and, make miss playoffs odds. How about the awards market? Is there anywhere to go in this MVP market?
Well, wanted to bring this up because Tim Bontemps, if you track this at all, did just drop his second.
Go Bonas, baby.
Yeah,
another,
that's right.
Another St. Bonaventure alum, Tim Bontemps.
He did just drop his second MVP straw poll this morning. So usually this is the one we usually see signal the market the most. However, this year, I think for the past couple months, we've already kind of known it's a two-horse race. And that's how it shows up in the voting. So this is Tim Bontemps from ESPN. He basically pulls 100 100 people that would vote or could qualify to vote for the MVP. So some of these are actual voters, some of them are not, but he does pull 100 people from scattered all around the country. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think no surprise, at the top with the most first place votes, 70 first place, 32nd. He didn't get any others, third, fourth, fifth, or you know, everybody voted for him as well. Nikola Jokic, I believe, yeah, the only other person that everybody voted for, 30 first place votes, 69 second place votes, and 1 third place vote. And then a big Giannis fan out there was the guy who did that, obviously. Giannis third in total votes, no first, 1 second, 77 third, fourth, 12 fourth place votes, 6 fifth place votes. You got Tatum fourth, Donovan Mitchell fifth. This is pretty on market. We always kind of look to run and see how this affects MVP odds. The morning he puts up this second one, we saw a slight movement throughout the past couple days on SGA's number actually coming down. It was minus 600 yesterday. Brendan Mendez and I were looking at this before the show, down to minus 500. I think this voting kind of shows you, though, that the odds are priced pretty correctly. Nikola Jokic at plus 350, SGA minus 500. As far as who's winning this award, it's down to those two. I think Shai's probably going to win this thing, barring any injury. With how good this Thunder team's playing, no, I mean, best record in the NBA. He's leading the scoring, in NBA. If you do look at some of the advanced analytics, Nikola Jokic has passed him in estimated plus minus. He's slightly above where SGA is now. Look, the other side of this argument is, are we really not going to give the MVP to Nikola Jokic, the best basketball player in the NBA, having his best one of. Probably will have his best season in the NBA that he's ever had when we've seen him win this award three times already before. It's a fair argument, Joe. I think this is just where it gets tricky with MVP almost in any sport, but especially the NBA. It's tough, but the reality is the best player in the NBA doesn't always win the MVP. And it's Michael Jordan didn't win it every single year he was playing. LeBron James didn't win it every single year he was playing. And surely we could sit here and say both those guys deserved more than they probably got. That's already happened to Nikola Jokic at least once in his career. It's probably going to happen a second time. I think it's just too easy. I think voter fatigue is real. And I think it's too easy when you have a guy like with the resume of SGA, of what he's doing this season, what his team's doing this season, to give it to him. So betting at the top of the board, it was really not much value out there to me right now, but wanted to at least update it for everybody because this is a big day usually in MVP odds that we see move. Now, I did do my top five.
We've got a Kelly Bidlin straw poll. I heard Tim Bontemps asked for it directly.
He did. Yeah, he texted me this morning. I woke up. I'm like, Timmy, I'll get to it as soon as I can. I got a show to prep, though, too. So I put my five. Look, the five top vote getters, they all make sense. I completely understand why they're in that order. And my top four, Joe, are exactly the same, too. It is SGA, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, and Jason Tatum, my top four. I mixed it up with the fifth, though.
Karl-Anthony Towns, obviously.
See, here's the thing. I'm glad you brought him up. Donovan Mitchell, great case. This is high up, at least in EPM metrics, that I can remember him in a while, and he is third in estimated plus-minus, has jumped Giannis onto the Kupa, which is pretty dang impressive. But with the points per game being down a little bit, some of the other Cavs stepping up, I think you could at least poke some holes in his case. And the Knicks, it's a problem because I think that there are, you know, I mean, you're a New York guy. I think most people would say, as great as Cat has been, Jalen Brunson still makes this team run. And I think those two just kind of take votes away from each
other. Absolutely.
And take credit away from each other. I think that's fair. I think it's fair to bring up and fair to say. I mean, look, Jason Tatum, he's a guy that I've knocked before in the past when it's come to MVP. I think he's squarely in the top four a little bit because Jaylen Brown is having a little bit of a down season. He doesn't have his running mate picking up the slack. So I'm going off the board. I'm not going with the Cav and I'm not going with the Knicks. I'm going to give Victor Wembanyama the hat tip here and put him fifth on my top five. With what Wemby continues to do, look, he's going to be on these straw polls and up on the MVP voting for many years to come. And I think it's starting now. Now, Is it a stretch for me to put him fifth when his team's not 500? Yeah, that's fine. But this is still, the guy's putting up incredible stats, and they're still trying to figure out how to play him. And now that De'Aaron Fox is alongside of him, I expect those stats to only go up with him playing next to a real playmaker. In the coming years, he's going to be awesome. But even the end of this season, I expect him to finish strong. So I'm going to go with him with fifth and mix it up a little bit.
You know, your top five is actually identical to DraftKings' top five on the odds board. Wemby is fifth on the odds board at DraftKings. Cat is sixth, tied with Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, and Anthony Edwards. Four-way tie at six on the DraftKings odds board, where, of course, SGA is minus 500, Jokic plus 350. I mean, look, Jokic is having a sensational season. SGA is having a sensational season. I think this comes down to who's going to get the one seed. And it looks like Oklahoma City's got the one seed locked in. And yeah. I think, you know, how do you argue against giving it to SGA when he's got his team positioned in the top overall seed? You could say, oh, well, what would the Nuggets look like without Jokic? What would the Thunder look like without SGA? You know, it's neck and neck. And I think, to your point, fatigue certainly plays a factor when you have a neck and neck race. Oh, well, let's give SGA his first instead of giving Jokic his fourth. But also SGA's, you know, leading the best team in basketball.
Yeah, I'll have to double check on these. But as of like a month ago, this was the case. The on-off splits are interesting because that's often used as an argument of, okay, Oklahoma City Thunder have such a better team. And I've talked about this when we talked about the futures bets that we love, right? Mm-hmm. The bench is such high quality. There's a lot of good guys that can come in when SGA hits the bench to take a rest. And it's not the same case in Denver. The problem is, as of a month ago at least, when you looked at the on-court metrics, it was still SGA's better than Nikola Jokic was on the court. So that actually might have changed in the past month, but it's still, that stuff's important to look at and consider, and I do expect him to end up winning.
Now, Kelly, I want to, because there are people out there that might be navigating DraftKings and looking at the awards tab, and they might see something at the end called clutch. And I want you to break this down for some people out there. If SGA is minus 500 to win the MVP, why is he 100-1 on the clutch player of the year while Jokic is the odds on guy there?
Okay, so this is NBA clutch time is a newish stat category for them, and I have made a couple bets in this award.
Really?
This is the first year I've ever done it too, Joe, because I wanted a few years of data to build up to see how voters would handle this. So clutch time is defined by the final 5 minutes of regulation or overtime when the score is within 5 points. So the stats only in that small period matter, okay? So the way this has kind of played out before in the awards voting is really it's an NBA-created award. It's NBA-created award basically based off of their own clutch time stats. So it's, I don't want to say it's simplistic, but it's at least a simplistic handicap to start, where you can just go to NBA.com, pull up their clutch time stats, and I would say, look at the guys who are scoring the most, get the most shots during clutch time, and then if you think about this, Joe, what the clutch time we just ran through, it's got to be a close game, right?
Right.
So you're not really looking at teams that are super good or super bad, because
Oklahoma City winning a lot of blowouts, hence SGA at 100-1.
Exactly. That's why he's not in it. So you're kind of looking for these teams that get stuck in these closer games more often. And I believe Trae Young, I'll have to pull these up. You surprised me a little bit with this, but Trae Young, I believe, is still leading scorer. It's a close race at the top though for clutch time scoring leaders. So Trae Young, Michael Montesano and I were talking about this a bit a couple weeks ago. We made bets of Trae Young and Tyrese Maxey, both in the double digit range. You're seeing Young at plus 450 right now. Tyrese Maxey at 8-1, these over at DraftKings. Both of them, I think, are still pretty good bets. Jokic, I think, is too big of a favorite here, but this comes down kind of like we talked about a lot about with NFL MVP, Joe. Is it too easy for the voters to go SGA MVP, and now let's find some other award to give to Nikola Jokic almost no matter
like
what?
Like Offensive Player of the Year.
Exactly. Yep. Like Lamar getting all those Offensive Player of the Year votes because guys wanted to do Josh
or
Allen
the first
MVP.
Team All Pro, Allen gets MVP.
Exactly.
Is Tyler Hero out for most improved? 15-1. It seems like a two horse race, no? Cade and Powell?
I hope not, because I got a 55-1 on him.
Wow, okay. I didn't even know that, and I like Hero in that market. Now 15-1, third shortest odds on the board. We'll look at NFL draft odds up next. Who's going to go number one? Who's going to Nashville? Find out on A Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game continues here on VSiN. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo, getting you ready for your weekend. No better way to do that than with some best bets, right, Kelly?
That's right.
Let's get into it. Best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. I gave out one college hoops play earlier. I've got two more on my Valentine's Day card. Just to reiterate quickly, Northern Kentucky -6.5. Now it's 7.5. I would still do it. This Green Bay team is atrocious. Don't be fooled by the fact that Green Bay is on a little 2-1-1 against the number streak. They've lost all four of those games. Shoot, they've lost all 14 of their conference games. And the two that they've covered were games that they were 15.5-point dogs in that they lost by 15. So they covered both of those on the hook. Their one push, they were a 14-point dog, lost by 14. So Green Bay, I mean, this team, all they do is they lose by double digits, right? Now they're 6.5-point dogs, now 7.5 at some shops. This is a Northern Kentucky team that beat them by 18 in their last meeting. I'm expecting another double-digit loss for Doug Gottlieb's Green Bay squad. Over in the Big Ten, I think this is a great spot for UCLA to kind of buck the trend. Everyone now, Kelly, is kind of pointing towards the fact that UCLA has not won a game east of the Mountain Time Zone. I believe they're 0-5 straight up when they have to travel east of the Pacific or the Mountain Time Zones.
Well, classic Big Ten clash. I mean, and yeah, how UCLA, many times Indiana. They've had to travel that far east, you know? It's a lot. Racks up.
This one, yeah, I mean, this used to be a Rose Bowl game. Now it's conference play. But I think this is a great spot for UCLA to end that. And, you know, people could say, all right, well, you're talking about winning. What about covering? I got the Bruins last night -1. You know, that's one and the same at that point. UCLA's defense, elite in the Big Ten. Indiana, in terms of points per game allowed, ranks just 15th out of 18th, while the Bruins rank number one. Offensively, these teams are very even, so I do think it'll be UCLA's defense that is the difference maker in this contest. And then to wrap it up, San Jose State. Got to go back to Sparty. Catching 6 against Nevada. How about San Jose State? They're 11-2-1 against the number in conference play. 9-2 against the number at home. 12-3 as dogs. 5-1 as home dogs. Nevada just 4-9 against the spread in conference play. 2-5 on the road. And 1-3 as road favorites. These are two of the better three-point shooting teams in the Mountain West, but Nevada stinks at defending the three. That'll probably be the difference maker here. Give me Sparty catching 6 at home.
I like it. It's nice to see like a UCLA game on a Friday night. Has that become more common since these conferences have gotten massive?
Not a lot of great. What are you talking about? Like having Friday good games on Friday? Yeah. I mean, there's instead not a lot like, on the card tonight. UCLA, Indiana is pretty much the lone big one. I mean, you got Mountain West action with Nevada and San Jose State. You got your weekly A-10 game with St. Louis, Loyola, Chicago. I mean, Sister Jean's 103. She's still going.
There you go. Good.
Happy Valentine's Day to Sister
Jean. Yeah, absolutely.
She can eat those like chocolates in the buyer. No, that's too hard for her.
So mean. It's nice to see like a legit matchup on a Friday night, though, instead of just like Manhattan and Siena like every single week. Like
yeah, those actually, poor we've kids. Got Siena and Marist going. Oh, okay, at.
Like those poor kids at Manhattan. As long as I've been involved in sports media of any kind, they're playing every Friday night. Never
yep, and they're hosting Merrimack tonight. Yeah, Merrimack's laying 2.5 on the road. Actually, might be a good spot for Merrimack. Laying 2.5 on the road. Those Manhattan kids, they're all worried about what bar in the Lower East Side they're going out to after the game.
Any recommendations for them?
A couple speakeasies, you know. Okay. Lower East Side's more like the casual vibe. It's not exactly like the vibe, you know.
That was pretty good. Paul Carr's Premier League bets. Southampton. It's just one word. This isn't Southampton. This is the English version. Here
yeah, I
Angel,
prefer
okay?
Southampton.
Yeah, this is the English version. Southampton.
Many nights in Southampton, I don't remember.
This always feels like it's missing an H to me anyway. So Southampton and Bournemouth over 3.5 at +130. This is Premier League action tomorrow for Paul Carr. Crystal Palace and Everton over 2.5 +120. I don't really know why I went over 3.5 and then over 2.5 goals. They're both just over 2.5 and 3.5 goals. If you're watching at home, Sunday, Liverpool and Wolverhampton under 3.5 goals at -110. So three totals for Paul Carr, who has been on quite a heater the past couple months on this show. Nothing for me, Joe. Nothing for me.
No best bets for Kelly.
I don't put anything in the sheet or anything on the website until I've bet it. We talked about it earlier. Tyler Hero will be in the account at some point, but I still got a shop number. So I didn't put it down. I don't want to put it down yet. Tyler Hero 3-point contest, though, will be on the card for me tomorrow.
You know, we mentioned going to dinner at Andiamo tonight, 8 o'clock reservation. Don't be late. What would the over-under be on glasses of wine consumed by Kelly? 2.5?
Glasses?
Bottles. It's going to be a good Valentine's Day. Best bets, of course, folks, brought to you by GBank. GBank's upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. Oh. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. That means you open an account today, you go on a date tonight, boom, you're going to get your bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of that account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now, VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. Kelly, we were talking about the Alex Bregman deal to the Red Sox earlier and how Bregman at some shops was 120-1 to lead the league in doubles, to be your doubles leader across Major League Baseball coming into the season. Now that he's got the Green Monster to play pepper with, he's down as short as 18-1. Think about that, from 120-1 down to 18-1. The caveat there, the leader is his teammate Jarren Duran, 7-1, because Duran's got wheels. And the one thing about the Green Monster is if you're not a speed demon, sometimes if you hit it too hard, that can just be a long single. Let's take a look at someone I know that would have turned the Green Monster into a long single.
Look at that rookie card.
Little League World Series Joe. What do you think I'm doing with the Green Monster, man?
Oh, man, you're just crushing home runs. Man.
Look at that smolder.
What happened to both of us? We just went opposite directions.
I still have that smug, cocky smile.
Yeah, no crap.
That look screams, I'm going to hit one 350 feet left center off you and then steal your girl.
Oh, man. What age is
that's
this?
Incredible. That's age 12, Little League World Series Joe.
Yeah. And then, yeah, me and you were
look, Stormy Bonantoni just walked laughing. In, getting ready for money moves, top of the hour, and she just walked in and saw that picture. The look on her face was priceless.
I just got to shake my head, man. Me and you were about that at the same plane weight at that age. What? We went opposite directions from there. Wow.
So that's Little League World Series, age 12. I think I'm 5'6", a buck 85. In that.
Okay.
I was the cleanup hitting first baseman.
As you should be.
Then I stretched out and became a PO, pitcher only.
Pitcher only, cool.
Yeah. Batting practice is a lot more fun when you're a PO. You're just like shagging fly. If it's your day off, you're shagging flies. you're screaming the words to your love by the outfield while you're in the outfield, man. Because that's the best BP song ever. That could be a good topic for next week. Best warm-up songs for baseball, okay. Best batting practice songs.
I think
your love. I saw UNC because college baseball starts this weekend.
Yeah.
And I saw UNC released. They had like every walk-up song for guys on their team. And someone, of course, had your love. And that's got to be like the first person who gets to pick. So it's always got to be a senior. That's always everyone's number one go-to.
Eventually we got to move on. But now I got to bring this back up. Did we go as Joseph as a kid?
That's the Fed name, you know.
But like, you needed your legal name on this fun baseball card for your team? That was required?
I think that was Joey. That was Joey.
That was Joey, okay.
Yeah.
So you were a Joey as a kid.
I mean, look at those cheeks. Those cheeks scream Joey, right?
You had to be a Joey.
Now it would be like weird. Now if anyone but my grandma calls me Joey, it's kind of weird. But those cheeks scream Joey. They also scream hibernation. I'm stuffing nuts in those for the winter.
Yeah, winter's coming.
Don't.
Yeah, you said something about that earlier, Valentine's Day. I have totally just got derailed.
Yeah, you look flustered after that. Your cheeks are as red as your pullover.
I can't get over Chubby Joe, man. You've come so far. Yeah, I'm so proud of you.
We tried. Did they just play the Valentine's Day music again?
No, it's just I'm really proud of you. It's hitting here. It's hitting here.
So I will say, we brought up Bregman and that doubles number. I don't know if 18-1 is worth playing. Honestly, still might be, just because I think he's going to have a monster, no pun intended, a monster season with that Green Monster there. But if you're looking for value, I think the Red Sox are just loaded with value. And we're going to talk a lot of baseball futures next week. But, you know, you can get them at longer than 4-1, as high as plus 450 if you shop around to win the American League East. I love that. I also love the exacta. I'm low on Baltimore this year.
Is that division just overall? Is it more difficult or less difficult than last year?
You know, that's tough. The Red Sox are better.
The
Orioles are worse.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So that's why I love the exacta. If you like Boston,
I mean, look, the Yankees are such a big favorite in that division. If you like Boston, you probably think the Yankees are going to come in second.
Right.
So you can double your odds and go from plus 450 to 9-1 on a Red Sox first, Yankees second exacta. And that, my friends, is what I'm going to lock in this weekend. Folks, the great content here at VSiN never stops. How about Money Moves at noon Eastern coming up next? Stormy Bonantoni, I'm sure she'll have something to say about Joey's cheeks. And Mike Somich joining her. Then Prop Points, the newly revamped edition. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson, 2 p.m. Eastern. Followed by Make It Rain, Scott Seidenberg in today, 3 to 4 Eastern, only here on VSiN. That does it for a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. Have a wonderful weekend and a great Valentine's Day, folks.